Prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the time we have to study it together. We pray that you might be glorified in all that we say and do, for we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Before we begin, I just wanted to say that for those on Wednesday night, some of the things that we're going to talk about you probably have heard before, but that's okay. Nothing wrong with repetition. And another thing, since I had a birthday Friday. Thank you. Turns 29. It was closer to 72. And what we need to say at that point is when you get older, sometimes you repeat yourself. You forget that you already told that story. And if that happens today, just humor me and go along like it's the first time you've ever heard me say it. I want to talk about today something that I think is important, and that is just one word, and that is beware. I think that there are some things in the scripture that we need to take note of, specifically that word beware. We're going to start in Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Colossians 2:8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. There's that word beware. There's a clear warning given to us. Beware lest any man spoil you. Now, I've been thinking about that word spoil. Now, we use that word, don't we? People will often tell you, well, don't spoil your kids. Now, your grandkids, you can spoil them. But don't spoil your own children. But see, that's not the way this word is used here. I think we are given a warning here about spoiling. And I want to take you back to the first place that the word is used as a verb. This word can be a noun or it can be a verb. So I want to take you back to the first place, back in the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verse 22. Exodus 3:22. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor, and of her that sojourneth in her house, jewels of silver, and jewels of gold, and raiment, and ye shall put them upon your sons, and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. They were going to spoil the Egyptians by taking these things, by taking their treasuries. And so that was something that was good for them. We sometimes use the word spoil as, well, you don't want to do something that's going to cause something negative to happen. But this spoil was something that was going to be positive on their part, on the part of the Israelis. They're going to spoil the Egyptians. And that makes me think that along with this warning, do not let any man spoil you, that we should never, and this I know I've said before, we should never exchange what we know for something we don't know. And that's one of the things we're going to talk about today, who we are in Christ, what we have, and when he's saying, don't let a man spoil you, remember what you have. Remember who you are in Christ. Don't let someone come along and take that from you. Don't exchange what you know for sure, which is who I am in Christ. And even later in that chapter in Colossians, He says, you are complete in him. Don't give that up. There are a lot of things out there that we don't know. One of the things we've been looking at on Wednesday night are things that are in the news, and if you don't watch the news, God bless you. I wish I didn't watch it. But there's a lot of talk about UFOs, which they call UAPs now, or USP. And one particular congressman who is a believer, and I like him, but he's been made to look like a fool, I think, because he's on television. He's saying, if all the American people saw what he saw and heard what he heard, the country would come unglued, and you wouldn't be able to sleep at night. And so they're saying, what are all these things, what are they? What are people seeing? I don't know. But I know this, I'm complete in Christ. I'm not going to give that up for something that I don't know. Sometimes people will ask you a question and you don't know the answer. This is all you have to do. Say, I don't know. But this I do know. I'm complete in Christ. I'm forgiven. We have to hang on to that. In this same chapter, in Colossians chapter 2, look at verse 4. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Now that's another good word. Beguile. Be careful. Now let me show you where this occurs. Go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, verse 13. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Now, when we see verses like this, Colossians, this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words, we think of the negative again. But what is being said is the beguiling was something positive. When you look at that interaction that was going on between Eve and the serpent, he was saying some things that appealed to her. And that's why she said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And that's why Paul says she was deceived. It sounded like he was saying something good. And this is what people out there in the world are hearing all the time, that what God wants to do is negative for you. God is withholding good things from you. And people are beguiled by what they think is the truth, but it's not the truth. So again, I think is that warning for us, be careful. And then another passage in the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 1. 1 Timothy 4, 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Here's another warning for us. And he says that in the latter times, when are the latter times? I don't know. It seems like they're beginning. But the warning is good for any time. He says, some shall depart from the faith. Now, this is something we've talked about. Those words, the faith. To me, I think it's a reference to the entire book, to all the scriptures. And we're being told here, some shall depart from the faith. There are people that they're not interested in just sitting down and having a good old-fashioned Bible study. They want to see something. They want to feel something. I want to see that demonstration of the power of God. I want to feel that. And that's what they're looking for. But Paul here tells us, Some are going to depart from the faith. They don't want the scripture. They want something else. So there are these warnings. And I think that it's very important for us to understand why. Why is it that when we watch the news, some of the things that are going on in the news, you think, how can anyone do that? How can they say those things with a straight face? How can that happen? Well, let's go find out. Back in the book of Genesis, chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8, verse 21. This is after the flood. After the flood. Genesis 8, 21. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground for any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. Now, if you go back to chapter 6, before the flood, in verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Now, notice that phrase, at his heart, because there in chapter 8, the Lord said in his heart, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So before the flood, God's estimation of mankind was the imagination of the thoughts of his heart is only evil continually. After the flood didn't change it. He said, the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Now, that word imagination, that's a word that we use a lot. We like it when people have a good imagination. But do you know any time that the word imagination is mentioned in the Bible, it's negative? It is not a good thing. God said that. The imagination is evil. Why do the things happen in the world today that we see happening? It's because the nature of mankind is evil. It's fallen. They don't care. Look in chapter 11 of Genesis, starting with verse 1. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick, and burn them throughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city, and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. Again, you see God's estimation of mankind. Nothing will be restrained, whatever they imagine to do. They were doing this in defiance of God's command to be scattered through the earth. They wanted to stay together, and they began building that tower that was in defiance of what God had commanded them to do. And so God had to take some measures to scatter them throughout the earth. And that's when you see the languages all coming into being at that point. He had to do something about their communication. He had to disrupt that. And again, when he says, nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Whatever they think. We hear a lot in the news today about AI. Whatever they imagine to do. Our concern is, will AI end up being something negative or positive? I don't know. All I know is we can do it because whatever we imagine to do. I think of programs, you know, I mention Star Trek all the time. But think of the things that they do on Star Trek. Do you know that they are working to do some of those things? They are working on a transporter that can move something from one place to another. Because the imagination, it's incredible. This event is talked about in the book of Romans, chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, look at verse 18. Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Because, look at verse 21, because that when they knew God, these are people, and this I think is a direct reference to that Tower of Babel. These are people that just didn't care. And, you know, when you see in the book of Revelation the people that are running from the judgments of God, and they know that it's God judging, but they don't care. They still will hate him. So people that are lost out there today, they don't care. And we are dealing with people that are lost, that don't care. We're dealing with people that maybe will acknowledge the truth of God, but they're not interested. They don't care. Look in Romans chapter 3, verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And then in verse 19, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. That's the problem with mankind. They're guilty. the sinful nature of man, guilty, all the world guilty. This is why we encounter what we encounter out there in the world. This is why when you watch the news, you see things, horrific things that people are doing, and you think, how can they do that? It's easy. They're doing what comes naturally to them. It's the wickedness of mankind. It's the sinfulness of mankind. But that's why God had a remedy for that. He had a remedy for the sinfulness of mankind. Now I want to show you in the book of John. John chapter 18. And I want you to look at verse 36. John 18:36. Jesus Christ is before Pontius Pilate. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, "I find no fault at all." We look at this and we think, well, that's Jesus Christ on trial before Pontius Pilate. I think it's the other way around. I think Pilate is the one who's on trial here. And his question is very powerful. What is truth? Because you see, we have truth written on the pages. We have truth. We know truth. And it's only going to be truth that is going to combat this sinful nature of mankind. But he says, what is truth? And he goes to the people and says, "I find no fault in him at all." You know, Pilate tried many times to release Jesus Christ. The people wouldn't have it. He tried his best to release him. And his testimony of Christ was correct. No fault in him at all. Pilate knew the truth. He knew the truth. But yet he says to them, what is truth? Back in chapter 14, verse 6, John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." The truth, when Pilate said, what is truth? The truth was standing right in front of him. And he didn't realize it. But Jesus Christ had said this, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And you know, this is one of those things I think that we have to hold on to and understand. He is the truth. If somebody wants to know, how do I get out of this wickedness? How can I be changed? How can my life be different? You have to be changed by the truth. Well, what is truth, as Pilate said? Truth is Jesus Christ. Truth is what he did on the cross that counts for all of us. It's the price that he paid on the cross that brought us forgiveness, that brought us salvation. That's the truth. And even though there are those out there today that would say, well, how can you say that it's only Jesus? How can you say those others that they don't have any of the truth? Well, I didn't say it. He said it. He's the one that said it. He's the one that made it narrow-minded to others. He said it. And we'd better know him. Because this is the truth. And even today, they're out there debating, well, you know, what is truth? I was watching this program, most incredible thing I ever saw. And you all know I like to watch these Ancient Aliens. What a stupid show. They were talking about the beginning of the universe. And they said, well, it's like the universe began as just this little dot. If you can think of a pencil, and at the very end of the pencil led, that was the size of the universe, and suddenly there was this bang, and it all started to expand. You know what they never answer? Who lit the fuse? Why was there this little, small little dot? Where did that come from? You can't get around the fact that the truth is right here in this book, that it's in Christ. That's the truth. I noticed that there was a commercial made about gold, and the statement was made, gold has been used since something year BCE. And they changed it so that it just says BC now. But it said BCE, and that stands for before common era. And that we're in the common era now. Well, you know when the common era began? When Jesus Christ was born. When AD began. I think you just can't get away from it, can you? You can't get away from the truth that it's all in Christ. Because that's when it all began. Back in chapter 8 of John. And if you don't know by now, I'll tell you, I love the book of John. I mean, if you want to know who Jesus Christ is, you read the book of John, and he tells you very clearly. In chapter 8, verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Notice the condition here. He says, if you continue in my word. Because where is truth? His word. So what are we to do? Continue in his word. It's the only place we can find truth. Only place there is. And then in chapter 17 of John, and this is what I call the true Lord's Prayer, because it is the account of Jesus Christ praying, speaking to the Father. John 17, 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Well, there it is right there. Thy word is truth. That's the only way you can know truth, is by knowing his word. And here's an important verse. In Psalm 138, and this is another good one, and this is an important one. Psalm 138, verse 2. Psalm 138, verse 2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Very, very important, because so many people are looking for that place where they say, we want to see the name of Jesus lifted up. And that's when the power of God is going to fall, by lifting up his name. Well, here he says, thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. It's his word that's important. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 12. Ephesians 1:12, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The word of truth, it's the gospel of your salvation. How did we get it? We believed. Just believed. You don't have to go forward at the invitation hymn. You just believe it. And then he says that you're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now, one of these days, we're going to talk about the differences between Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost. And King James Bible is the only Bible that uses that term Holy Ghost. But sometimes you see Holy Ghost, sometimes you see Holy Spirit. You never see the words Holy Ghost in the Old Testament. You see the words Holy Spirit. The word ghost is in the Old Testament, but not as Holy Ghost. So one of these days, you know, that's coming. We will do that. But this is one of those things that you know. Don't give this up. You were sealed. You belong to Him. That is the truth. Don't give it up. Don't give up what you know to be true for something that you don't know. This you know to be true because it is written here. It's there for me to see and there for me to believe. In the book of Colossians, chapter 1, Colossians 1, verse 5. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. See the emphasis on truth. And for Paul, when he speaks to us, the emphasis on truth is that's the gospel, that's the word, that's the scripture, that's what God has given to us. That's his truth. Now, there's another reason that we need to know this truth. And we need to hold on to it because people will try to take it from you. We have to be on our guard. And as Paul said, beware lest any man spoil you. They're going to come along and do some of these things. Let's look at them. In Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27, verse 62. Matthew 27, 62. Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Now, you know, they were remembering this, but the disciples kind of forgot it. You know what happened? While he was yet alive, he said, after 3 days I will rise again. Command, therefore, that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead, so the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, you have a watch. Go your way, make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. There can't be any question as to what happened. They were doing everything that they could to prevent it from happening. But we know that it happened. Jesus Christ could not be held by any of that. But go to chapter 28, look at verse 11. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priest all the things that were done. What were they showing to them? Well, he rose from the dead. They had met him there. The women met him there in the garden. And they were talking to the chief priest about it. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldier. Now, large money, that has to be a big amount. Saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. There are going to be people out there that want to take your hope away from you, that want to put a wedge between you and the truth. Beware, be careful. Don't let them do it. We know the truth. And sometimes you just kind of have to let that just roll right off of you. Well, I understand what you're saying, but that's not the truth. I have the truth. Back in chapter 26 of Matthew, verse 59. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses and said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. They're looking for false testimony, false witness against him. They can't find it, much like Pilate saying, I find no fault in him. It's fine. He's not guilty. They can't find him until it says these two came and they said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. He said that. And they're taking his words, the words of truth that he's speaking, and they are twisting them, making them mean something that he didn't mean. That's what people will try to do to your words. Take your words and twist them to make them mean something that you didn't mean. That's what they're doing with Christ. In the book of John again, chapter 16. John 16, verse 1. John 16, 1. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. That sounds like Paul the Apostle right there. That he thought he was serving God, but he wasn't. He didn't know the truth. People are going to come against you, thinking they are serving God, but they are not. They don't have the truth. And that's why the warning is there, beware lest any man spoil you. Don't let anyone beguile you. Don't let anyone take something away from you that you know to be true. It all comes down to this, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 35. Romans 8, 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now listen, that verse 39, someone says, well, I believe that we're not alone in the universe. I believe that there are other planets out there that have life on them. And I say, I don't care. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature is going to be able to separate me. I don't care. Let them be there. They can't separate me. They can't take away from me what I know to be true. And that is back to that verse in Colossians 2:10. Ye are complete in Him. You have everything that you need. They can't take that away. So don't freely give that away to someone. Don't let them do that to you. Hold on to what you know to be true. Reject the false. Understand the truth. Know it. Believe it. Hold on to it. Don't let go of it. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for truth that you have revealed to us. And we pray that others, when they see us, would understand that truth, would know that there is truth motivating us, strengthening us, and keeping us. We thank you that by your Spirit we have been sealed, and that nothing is going to separate us from your love. We give you thanks for that and praise, because you alone are worthy. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.